I was in seminary in Pasadena, California, and I remember very well one year as I drove from the north side of Los Angeles in Pasadena to the south side of Los Angeles in San Pedro, driving and seeing fires on both sides of the freeway. And as you looked into that area where those fires were burning, you could see men in fatigues carrying rifles. The Watts riots were in progress, and the smoke billowed across the freeway. Young men received battle ribbons in the streets of Los Angeles in those days. And I also remember very keenly on the corner where Fuller Seminary was located that there was actually a machine gun emplacement on the corner with sandbags around it. Absolutely amazing. Violence everywhere in the streets. 25 years later, we had the Rodney King beating, the subsequent riots, the beating of a truck driver by the name of Reginald Denny, and there was violence again in the streets. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 13. Then God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth." I want to talk about this subject this morning and next week and the following week, the Lord willing. And basically, the outline of the 3 weeks is something like this. Violence, its causes, its results, and its cure. And we're going to look a little bit at the cure this morning because we don't want it to be all bad news as we look at this text this morning. But I do want to look at this subject. And the basic proposition that I'm laying before you this morning is simply this, that home life, environment, and lack of education are not the causes of violence, but they do provide the catalysts for the outbreak of violence. And I want us to understand this because it seems to me this is terribly important to understand, because if we do not understand the root causes, we cannot come to grips with the real cure. And that's what we really need to understand. So first of all, I want to answer the question, what is violence? And some of you are going to ask me in response to that question, why in the world even ask the question? We know the answer, do we not? Well, I think we know the answer in part. We know that brutality, which involves other human beings, and the brutality which is inflicted upon human beings, that's violence. There's no question about it. And we see the word which is used in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 13, violence has filled the earth, or the earth is filled with violence. We see this same word used in reference to violence which is inflicted upon others and causes bodily harm. So work with me here, will you? In your Bible, please turn, keep your finger there in Genesis chapter 6 and turn with me to Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49. We're going to go back to Genesis chapter 6, but look at Genesis 49 verse 5. Which says, Simeon and Levi are brothers. Their swords are implements of violence. Now, we have no problem with understanding that, do we? And in our world today, we see the sword being used in many parts of the world, and there is much violence. But now compare with that, if you would, Exodus 23. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Exodus chapter 23. This is just a little bit of a word study here. Exodus 23 and verse 1. You shall not bear a false report. Do not join your hand with the wicked, with a wicked man, to be a malicious witness. Now, the word which is translated malicious in both the New American Standard Version and in the New International Version is the word violence, a violent witness. And after all, what is a person who bears false witness with malicious intent? Such an individual has violence in their heart. The best and supreme example of this sort of thing are the witnesses who were brought against Jesus Christ. They were witnesses with malicious intent, and they wanted to see the destruction of Jesus Christ. They were violent men. And so, to speak with violent intent is involved here. We see a similar thing in Deuteronomy 19. Turn with me there, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy 19, verse 16. If a malicious witness rises up against a man to accuse him, if a malicious, a violent, that's the word which is placed before us. And so we have this understanding of the word that involves what people think, what they have to say. And it is not necessarily attached directly to physical acts. I think we have to understand this. Martin Luther, in commenting on Genesis chapter 6 and verse 13, says that the second table of the Ten Commandments, commandments 5 through 10, and violations of these commandments amount to violence. Honor your father and mother. When you fail to do that, and you do violence to that commandment, it is an act of violence, however mild or severe. Of course, do not murder is in that category. Do not commit adultery. When you do violence to that commandment, you enter into an act of violence according to the Scriptures. Do not bear false witness. Do not be a malicious witness. Do not covet. Do not steal. All of these things are comprehended under this term. And you know what, folks? When you look at Genesis chapter 6, you see an amazing thing. Verse 13, then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. All of these things were taking place. Why? The second point is very simple. Sinful hearts are the root cause of violence. Notice how I express that. Sinful hearts are the root cause of violence. Then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. That the violence springs from the hearts
of men and women.
Verse 11 gives us a similar thing. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. Verse 5 in Genesis chapter 6. And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
Do you like the sound of that? I doubt it.
This past Lord's Day evening, when I had the privilege of speaking over at the college, I understand this is the case. I'm getting a second hand, so some of you may have to verify this, but I understand that when I mentioned the fact that every human being on the face of the earth comes into the world in a sinful condition, one of the other fellows on the platform folded his hands and looked down at the floor. Because that kind of statement is not acceptable. But it's the Word of God. What's the problem here? Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The problem is the inclination of the heart is toward immorality, is toward evil, is toward that which is in opposition to God. That's the root problem. And especially as those who profess faith in Jesus Christ, we of all people need to understand that root problem. Let me read to you a piece of an article that was in the Hutchinson News. I guess this was a couple of weeks ago. A deadly epidemic is stalking the nation's youth, according to health officials, and it is not spreading through bacteria or virus, but rather through bullets, knives, and other weapons in an increasingly violent society. Listen to this now. Guns are now responsible for more deaths of teenagers in the United States than from all natural diseases combined. For Americans ages 10 to 34, guns are the second leading cause of death. Can you imagine that? That more teenagers die from bullets in the United States than from any other natural cause, from any disease or anything else? You know what we say? Oh, we're so glad we live in central Kansas where we don't have that problem. That is a big bunch of bunk. Friday, September 3rd. The Hutchinson News again. A student being held for the shooting of a girl in the Junction City High School cafeteria broke down and cried when he was stopped by a school employee. A 14-year-old girl was reported in critical but stable condition at a Topeka hospital Thursday. A 15-year-old boy was being held for investigation of aggravated battery. That's Kansas, folks. And the problem is the inclination of the heart toward evil. That's the root problem. And let's make it clear, because Jesus confirms this. Look back again with me in Matthew. In Matthew chapter 15. As I'm looking at this now, I'm quite amazed because in verse 15, Peter says, "Explain the parable to us." The parable that Jesus had just been relating. And Jesus says in verse 16, "Are you still lacking in understanding? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated?" That's a biological fact, is it not? "But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man." It's out of the heart. And so, the problem that is described in Genesis is firmly and fully described and supported by Jesus. And so, having said this, I want to move on to say that home life, environment, and lack of education provide the catalyst for the outbreak of violence. They're not the root cause. The primary cause of violence, dear friends, is not having grown up in a violent home. Now catch what I'm saying here. The patterns of abuse that occur in many homes are reprehensible and horrid. And bad patterns can be and are learned. But let me tell you that when a heart is inclined in the direction of evil, those patterns will not only be learned, but they will be grasped. And they will be followed. A heart which is inclined, on the other hand, a heart which is inclined towards God and is filled with the love of God finds those patterns of abuse to be absolutely abhorrent. And will not follow them. See, that's the distinction. That's the thing that we have to grasp. The primary cause of violence is also not poverty. You know, it's real interesting when we look at the history of our nation that during the Great Depression, for example, when many were living in very humble means, there were not huge outbreaks of violence. Ghetto conditions in many of our cities today are absolutely deplorable. But did poverty conditions cause the L.A. riots? I don't think so. They may have provided a catalyst. But when hearts are inclined in that direction, when there is an opportunity for the outbreak of violence, individuals who are inclined in that direction will move in that direction. And I remember very well watching the TV during that time as men and women were carrying television sets and armchairs and sofas out of stores. They used that as an opportunity to carry out what was in their hearts. And the primary cause of violence is therefore also not a lack of education. Now, most of you know that I went to a school where the discipline was fairly hefty. At the military academy at West Point, you had to be at particular places at particular times, and if you weren't there, you suffered the consequences. And I'm very thankful for that training. You know why? Because old-fashioned education that demands discipline of individuals breeds within those individuals a sense of self-discipline. And that kind of discipline holds back in the hearts of individuals who would break out into violence. It holds them back and constrains them. And from this perspective, I think, a lack of education does act as a catalyst for violence. But it is not the root cause. The root cause, my friends, is the sinfulness of sin and the inclination of the sinful heart. And so I say to you, and I think the point, at least from my perspective, is made, that home life, environment, and lack of education are not the causes of violence. They do provide the catalyst for such outbreaks. This being the case, what's the answer? I want you to look at Genesis chapter 6 again. What's the answer? Here is the overwhelming and powerful answer. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8. But Noah found favor, that is, grace, in the eyes of the Lord. You know what the answer is? The answer to violence is the grace of God. That's what the answer is. The answer is the grace of God changing the inclination of the heart and transforming the person into someone who loves Jesus Christ. That's the answer. You believe that? I hope you do. I really hope you do. And if you do, you'll understand the fact that the answer involves talking about the reality of sin. The answer involves talking about the absolute necessity of individuals being born again. Jesus said you must be born again. The answer involves people being changed by the grace of God, being given new hearts. The answer involves proclaiming the wonders of Jesus Christ who died and rose again and ascended on high, and He sits presently at the right hand of God the Father, where He pours out the blessed Holy Spirit upon people like you and me, giving to people like you and me new hearts, changing us on the inside. It involves proclaiming the wonders of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the response to that gospel, which is turning away from that life of violence and turning to Jesus Christ and saying, Lord Jesus, I see that You died to pay for that violence. You died suffering a violent death Yourself to pay for that violence. And when I trust in You, the guilt is removed and I can move on into a new life. And You give to me that wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. And with it comes love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and meekness and self-control. With it comes a changed life. That's the answer. That's the cure. You know, we're running around in this world with all sorts of ideas and all sorts of methods that you're just touching on the periphery of the problem. When the answer is at hand, it's the answer of changed lives through Jesus Christ and through the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the answer for your life. If you're caught in the midst of a problem that involves violence. And so I exhort you and I challenge you to turn to Jesus Christ and to trust in Him and to follow Him. We're going to talk more about this cure and the beauty of it and the wonder of it. But you know what, folks? You really never understand the cure unless you understand the problem. And that's why we're zeroing in on it the way we are this morning. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for Jesus Christ. And thank you, Father, that He is the one who changes the sinner's heart. It takes people like me, those of us who are here, and makes us into individuals inclined to the things of God, inclined to the things of love and peace. Oh God, help us to understand that. And help us, Father, on one hand, to look at our own hearts honestly and to turn to Christ honestly and completely. Help us in that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.